Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Today we come together as one nation to salute the veterans of the United States Armed Forces, the greatest warriors to ever walk the face of the earth. You are the reason our hearts swell with pride, our foes tremble with fear, and our nation thrives in freedom. You are America's greatest living heroes, and we will cherish you now, always, and forever.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Are you at all concerned that your colleagues on the other side of the aisle may turn the process and make it such a hard process to follow for the public? Perhaps some might call it a sabotaging of the process.
Well, of course, that's been the strategy all along, of course, has been to attack the process.
These witnesses have been fairly consistent, and for the most part, they've not been coordinating or talking to each other. For the most part.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We are now seeing fascist and neo-fascist political figures drop the charade of climate change denial and instead cast the global ecological crisis as a way of cleansing the world of lesser humans.
Before our ancestors were murdered and cleared out of this area, they farmed and lived on this land in a way that humans, the four-legged, the plant and tree people, the fish people, and Mother Earth all benefited from.
Fish people!
You on drugs?
Unchained and unstoppable.
I shouldn't be filming this, but I want, if anything happens, I want everybody to know. To my wife and kids, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to all of my fellow fish people out there and everybody else. This is Howie Carr broadcasting today for the first time this season from sunny South Florida, Boca Raton, our Newsmax studios in Palm Beach County. We're here. Grace is here. I'm here. The mailroom manager is here. We're going to have a good time this week. We'll be on Newsmax TV at 4 o'clock, and we'll be joined by Joe DeGenova. It'll basically be the same show. We won't be on social media, TV, Google, Twitter, et cetera, for the whole 4 hours of the show. But otherwise, it's not going to be that different. And we got a lot planned. As always, it is Veterans Day, and I'd like to thank once again all of our veterans, living and dead, for all of their sacrifices on our behalf, so that we can live in this great country. And it's a struggle every day to keep the country free, but not as much for us civilians as it was for the people in the military. And we do appreciate all of their sacrifices. It was great to be with everybody on Friday at the WRKO studios in Medford, Massachusetts. And we thank everybody. It was good to see everybody. And thanks to all the listeners and viewers who made it a very big financial success for the DAV, the Disabled American Veterans. And again, the telephone number is the same. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. It's a good day to get on the Chump Line. Press 2 for the Chump Line. And all the same stuff that's always for sale will be for sale, as always. And I don't know how many autographed copies of What Really Happened we have left. Not all that many, because we had hundreds of books in stock, and I signed every one before I left. But you know, it's nice when you get two plugs from the President of the United States. So most of the signed books are gone, but you can still get them. And if you can't get a signed one, there'll be plenty of unsigned ones. And there's also plenty of signed copies of Kennedy Babylon, Volumes 1 and 2. And hope you'll be checking out our podcasts. The season finale of Dirty Rats has been a big hit with Howie Winter and Ellen Winter. We'll be doing more next year. We're looking for a new podcast to do, and we ask you to come listen to the show every day, or have the show downloaded to you, and you can listen to the entire 4 hours, even if you miss some part of the show. I know it's hard to listen straight through for 4 hours. And we have Chop Chumps. We have the Morning Minute. And there was something else that I was thinking of this weekend as a potential for a podcast every day, because every day we have so many stupid sound cuts from Democrats, Trump derangement syndrome, et cetera, et cetera. We can't even get to all of them, even though we have one of the longer shows in radio and TV, which is 4 hours. We still can't. I have a cut sheet in front of me. Today it's got 35 cuts on it, 35 cuts, and at least 10 of them we could put on every morning, with just Democrats saying really stupid things. So let me just say. I'm going to ask people to text in to our usual texting number 53666, and just tell us, would you like to get a Trump derangement syndrome packet of sound cuts every morning? 63566. I'm sorry to be Joe Biden here. 63566.
30012.
63566. So the first one I want to play is Joe Biden, and he is talking about one of the world's largest guns, or probably the world's largest gun. I don't know how. You'd probably need a flatbed truck to carry this kind of gun
around.
It's
a very innovative piece of hardware.
Very innovative. I mean, I don't know what do you do with it. Who fires a gun like that? How do you aim a gun like this? Well, see, you can hear Joe Biden talking about this amazing magical gun. Cut one.
I believe in the Second Amendment, but nobody says you can have a magazine with 100 clips in it, 100 bullets in it. We protect geese more than we protect. No joke. You can only have three shotgun shells when you go shooting for geese. But guess what? We protect geese better than we do our kids.
Okay. So it wasn't just the 100 clips that he was ranting about. It was about geese.
Taylor was dead on right, though, when he said they don't let him talk during the week, because they think if he talks during the weekend, then it will roll over by Monday. And it doesn't, because it's so worth playing.
You know, here's my prediction. If we do a podcast every week, or, 5 days a week, with Trump derangement cuts and crazy Democrat cuts, the Monday cut will be the best one, because everybody will be looking forward to Joe Biden, right?
Yeah.
It's just like Thursday afternoon, not so much now, because she's kind of broken out of her weekly routine. But Nancy Pelosi, it always used to be something to look forward to on Thursday, because she had the Thursday morning press conference, right?
Right.
And she would just go on and on and on. Now, here's another one that amused me. Now, Eric Swalwell, you know him, President Swalwell, as Corey Lewandowski calls him. he is the one who tried to run for president. Now he dropped back to, because he had starved to death. He's like 45, 50 years old. He doesn't own a house. He has major credit card bills. He has major student loan debt. In other words, he's not too successful financially, even though he's got a bachelor's degree, a law degree. I believe he, like Schiff, is a former federal prosecutor. But, like Schiff, the stuff he says on a daily basis on Capitol Hill, outside the hearings rooms, on the floor of Congress, his cases would get tossed out of court instantaneously if he told the judge something like this, or admitted what he says in these court findings. Now, why do you think that they're witnessless when there are criminal trials?
I don't know. The only time I ever heard of a witness list was when you were on a witness list.
Right.
And I assume that's just because people didn't want you making funny faces in the background.
Well, they put me on the witness list. They I got a call from the court, and they said, you can't come into court. And I said, why can't I come into court? And they said, because you're on Whitey's witness list. And it happened to me before one other time. And the reason they put you on a witness list is because they don't want you to be tailoring your testimony based on what you're hearing in the courtroom.
Right.
So, you know, so I'm not going to say, yeah, I was with Whitey that day, and I remember him telling Stevie that they weren't going to do anything. You know, that wasn't going to happen. They were just trying to keep me out of court. But that's why witnesses aren't allowed to be in the courtroom, right? So they can't tailor their testimony. So this is Swalwell. He's asked the obvious question, you know, on this impeachment farce. Are the witnesses getting together? You know, this is a good reason for the witnesses to get together, because there aren't any real witnesses. They're just people that have secondhand hearsay testimony to present, which wouldn't be allowed in a real trial because it's hearsay.
They're like the old ladies at the water cooler at work. They're just hanging around. Did you hear this?
It's not testimony. It's just opinions. Their interpretation.
Right.
Like high school girls, like at the cafeteria. I think this happened.
Yeah, and like Vindman, I didn't like what I was hearing. Did you hear anything that was illegal? Oh, I didn't hear anything. But you know, when I saw the transcript, I didn't like the way it read. Oh man, impeach him, throw him out of office.
Which transcript are you referring to?
Where were you born, Mister? Where were you born, Mister Vindman? The Soviet Union. Well, then you have all the more right to make a decision for 63 or 140 million Americans, however many. But anyway, this is Swalwell talking. He's asked about, are the witnesses been coordinating their testimony? Cut 11.
But do you expect anything new from these testimonies, or is it going to be a recitation of what we can read in these depositions already?
These witnesses have been fairly consistent, and for the most part, they've not been coordinating or talking to each other. But again, this is America, and we don't just have, you know, railroading of justice. These witnesses, you know, should come public, and, mm-hmm. you know, the American people should judge for themselves as well as we will as to, you know, what happened here.
For the most part, they have not been coordinating their testimony. But this is America, where we don't have a railroad. Well, I would say coordinating testimony in a proceeding to remove a sitting president of the United States, I would say that is railroading. Again, they're doing exactly what they say they're not doing, and they're not doing exactly what they're doing, what they're saying they're doing. All right, 844-500-4242. You like the idea of having a daily little podcast, maybe like 2-3 minutes with just all these nutty sound cuts in one place? Easy to get to. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
It is clear now more than ever. This is a calculated coup. And it is being orchestrated by Adam Schiff. We are watching him orchestrate a takedown of a president after we just celebrated 30 years of taking down the Berlin Wall.
Are we on? Okay. I didn't know. We hadn't heard anything. Sorry about that. I apologize for that little faux pas programming-wise. That was Kevin McCarthy. You know, it's pretty bad when a guy who used to be with Paul Ryan, also known as Paul Ryan-O, is calling it a calculated coup, but that's exactly what it is. I don't know how else to describe it. We've got Joe DeGeneva coming on today, and we're going to discuss this. It's hard to even know where to begin, because it's just it's so crazy what they're trying to do. They keep talking about process, but there's no process whatsoever involved in this whole thing. Nancy Pelosi says they're going to issue subpoenas, but they're not going to try to enforce the subpoenas. What the hell does that mean? So you have an option. That's like me calling up somebody and saying, do you want to be on the show? No, I don't want to be on the show. Well, I'm going to issue a subpoena. Okay. If there's no force behind the subpoena, it's not really a subpoena, is it? None of this stuff makes any sense from a legal or a logical or a rational perspective. And of course, the ultimate irrationality is he didn't do anything. And Karl Rove was talking about this as well, too. The other thing is about this, and we'll get to it after we do the poll question here. The poll question is sponsored by Wreaths Across America. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 14th. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a handmade balsam fir wreath, a measure, a symbol of America's respect. Sponsor a veteran's wreath today. You'll feel better here on Veterans Day or any other day when you decide to do it. Go to www.wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's www.wreathsacrossamerica.org. And I was at the Breakers yesterday, just walking around, and I ran into a guy I know from City Hall who works there, and we were talking about Epstein, because he used to be around the Breakers too, because he had a place in Palm Beach, and he was banned from the Breakers just like he was banned from Mar-a-Lago, and this guy I knew from Boston said, I got two police friends, and they all they could keep talking about is they think Epstein is still alive, they think he's escaped. And, we got these calls over the last Friday. We were asking, was Epstein murdered or not? And people were calling in just randomly and just saying, I don't think he's dead. And apparently it's all over the there was a guy at the Alabama LSU game today on Saturday. Some prankster kid said Epstein's alive, and there were some other ones. We'll play some other cuts. It's become like an internet meme to say Epstein didn't kill himself, or Epstein's. So we decided to put it to a different question than last time. Did Epstein kill himself or not? So, Taylor, what is today's poll question, which is slightly different? It's a holiday. There's not a lot of news going on today, so we just decided to do kind of a strange question. What's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you think Jeffrey Epstein is still alive?
Apparently a lot of people do. I'm not one of them. No, I don't think so.
11% think he's out there somewhere.
That's all? I thought it would be more than that.
I'd say that's a fair number.
The other day, Howie, you were saying that you didn't even think it was possible that he was murdered, and now you think it's possible that he's alive and he's been transported outside
the jail.
No,
I'm just saying there are a lot of people out there who seem to think he's still alive.
There are a lot of people that think there are aliens, too. That doesn't mean there's any facts to back it up.
But this seems to have
raised plays. There's plenty of evidence of aliens. Come on.
I know. You and Howie are alien believers.
Besides, there's been a lot of alien alleged sightings or alleged sightings over the years. I don't think there's been too many sightings of Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, if you go into a rabbit hole on the internet, you can find out all these conspiracy theories about Jeffrey Epstein, and they'll show you like him leaving in the body bag and his face and how it doesn't really look like him or
Listen,
whatever.
If Elvis is still alive, so can Jeffrey Epstein be.
Mm-hmm.
How long does Elvis have to keep working at Burger King in Kalamazoo? I mean, at some point they tell you to start collecting Social Security, right? Don't you have to start collecting Social Security at some point, like 70 or 72? We'll be right back, and we'll take your phone calls at 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. If you don't see us on Twitter or Google, it's because we're in Florida. We're in Boca Raton at our Newsmax studios. If you can get us on cable TV, you can watch us on Newsmax starting at 4 o'clock, or I think Newsmax has a feed on the internet as well. So we'll be available, Grace and I, at 4 o'clock, and we're available right now online on the iHeart app, on terrestrial radio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 844-500-4242. Let's play before we go to the phone lines, and we got a lot of people want to talk about these Democrats' crazy statements and other things. Let's play one more cut here. This would be another thing that we would probably add to these, which is just the media bending over backwards to be part of the team. There's no such thing as as the loyal opposition when it comes to the Democrats anymore. They're in the satchel for the Democrats. They don't do any investigation. This is Chuck Todd, Democrat operative with a press pass, whose wife worked in the 2016 campaign cycle for Bernie Sanders, and he's lobbing a softball question to yet another lightweight from the nutmeg state of Connecticut by the name of Jim Himes, and he's talking about the impeachment process, and Chuck Todd is concerned that the Republicans are sabotaging the process of a railroad. How you got to listen to the question? I just wanted to, you know, set it up for you here. How preposterous this question is. Cut 15.
Are you at all concerned that your colleagues on the other side of the aisle may turn the process and make it such a hard process to follow for the public? Perhaps some might call it a sabotaging of the process, where it makes it more difficult for you to air this public testimony?
Well, of course, that's been the strategy all along, of course, has been to attack the process. And when you look at their witness list, you can sort of tell what they're doing. They're really doing two or three things. Number one, they're calling a number of witnesses that we've already deposed. And these are witnesses who aren't going to say that the president's actions were okay. In fact, they'll say that they had very serious concerns about it. But they'll say, well, gosh, I didn't know that this was going on. I wasn't sure if this was illegal. That's not a very strong defense. The other
stop it right there. It wasn't illegal. Okay, the president is the chief of foreign policy in the United States. That's one of the major things that he's elected to be the steward of for 4 years. And number two, are they going to sabotage the process? That's like asking the prosecutor of a case. You've just brought an indictment against some criminals, right? And so you're out on the courthouse steps and the reporter says, are you concerned that the defense lawyers are going to try to sabotage the process? And what makes it even worse is they're trying to frame this guy. This would be like, you know, the four guys that went to prison for 35 years for a murder they didn't commit. State's attorney or assistant attorney general, I guess that's who prosecuted Assistant district attorney. Are you concerned that the defense lawyers are going to try to sabotage their clients from being railroaded for a murder they didn't commit? It's the same damn thing. God, sabotage the process. Does this guy have no understanding, or does he just not care, or does he think the handful of viewers that are left on Meet the Press are so stupid that they don't understand how preposterous these questions are?
Yeah, and I guess last week there was a reporter who I don't know if it was Matt Gaetz, but it was some Republican, and they asked him a question about the impeachment, and then he didn't answer and he walked away, and the reporter said something like, as you can see, the Republicans are, very discouraged, or they're scrambling, or said something like that. And the Republican turned back around and went up to the reporter and said, we're not worried about anything. And I thought, that's at least one thing that Donald Trump has done for these Republicans, is that they understand now that it's okay to fight back and it's okay to hold these people's feet to the fire. Like, you're not getting any points for being Mitt Romney and crawling into a hole.
Playing ball with them.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I mean, why can't they just come out and say, are you kidding me? He didn't do anything. This is ridiculous. He's being framed by a bunch of, he's being framed by people who didn't even hear the conversation and who have no legal standing to make these accusations. And even if they did, there's nothing here. And the ones who heard the conversation say that the transcripts are accurate. So what exactly are you trying to do here, other than have a coup, as Kevin McCarthy said, against the sitting president? Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, happy Veterans Day, Howie. I tuned into Facebook Live here a little while ago and saw the great cardboard cutout of you. I'm wondering if I'm just wondering if Grace has a cardboard cutout as well. I bet hers looks a lot better.
You know what? You know, some people have said that we need a cardboard cutout of Grace, too. We'll get one, though, soon, Bob. That is a point well taken. Thank you. But you'll be able to see us live in a few minutes on Newsmax very shortly. I'm sorry, sorry to disappoint you on Veterans Day.
I wanted to recognize my dad, who's a Newton North graduate, and went on to graduate from BU and serve in the Vietnam War in the United States Air Force, flew HH-53 Jolly Green Giants, and was awarded 5 Distinguished Flying Crosses for rescuing men shot down over enemy territory in Laos and North Vietnam. And, you know, he's a great American hero. And he told me just recently, he said, guys like Finman are desk jockeys that, you know, when they wear a uniform once of, you know, out of every 365, one day out of 365 days a year, those are the desk jockeys.
I know, Bob. What does it tell you about that? What does it tell you about the guy that all the pictures of him at the White House? He's just dressed in a business suit with a tie, like everybody else at the White House. But he only puts on the uniform when he goes to Congress to testify. It's you're right. It's such a crock, a real crock. Thanks for the call, Bob, and thanks to your father for his service. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. By the way, the congressman who turned around was Mark Meadows from North Carolina.
And the word that the reporter used was struggling. She said the Republicans are struggling with this impeachment, and that's what made him turn around.
Struggling.
He said, we are not struggling.
Joe Namath is not struggling anymore either. He has a new book out.
Yes, struggling. He does. He goes on Fox a lot, Joe.
Yes.
Struggling.
All right, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Howie, let me tell you, I heard you thank us, Vets, earlier.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. The thanks goes both ways, okay? Let me tell you something. You and I have been talking for years and years, and I've never called you once with a vest issue that you didn't help me with. And that goes for your crew, too. So you guys deserve a lot of kudos, too. See, a lot of people are supporting us on this one day. You guys support us all year. There's a big damn difference, and we know it. Number two, you know, being military, we get a lot of scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
The scuttlebutt is that Epstein's living in a bunker, underground bunker up in Chappaqua, New York. But, you know, just take that for scuttlebutt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, like seriously, Mike, though, I mean, why would you want to spirit the guy out? Then he has something against whoever spirited him out, and he could blackmail them just like he's apparently been blackmailing everybody that in his social and financial circles for the last 40 years or so. I mean, the best way to the best way to eliminate Epstein as a threat to everybody is just to do to him what happened to him under whatever circumstances in the tombs in New York, right?
Let me tell you, Howie, as long as this guy's sucking fresh air, he's a threat.
Exactly. You That's what I mean? Yeah, I know. That's why they kept Lepke Buckhalter around, the guy from the commission. You know, he was murder charges, and they kept him in a basement in Brooklyn for a couple of years. And they said, you know what? As long as Lepke's out there, he can turn on the rest of us. So you know what? They turned him over to J. Edgar Hoover, and he was strapped into the electric chair in Sing Sing a couple of years later. But, I mean, you know, that was a different breed of cat back in those days. Lepke knew worse things were going to happen to his family. Epstein had no family. So Epstein, they had to get rid
of Ghislaine.
I don't think.
They were close.
Yeah, they were. They were close, kind of like a couple of cobras in a somebody's little container.
Yeah,
you know, they were. I don't think they were. I don't think they were like. I don't think they sent Valentine's Day cards to each other. Let me put it that way. Thanks for the call, Mike. Carolyn, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Hi, I absolutely understand what the Democrats are doing with their kangaroo court. They're going to drag every Tom, Dick, and Harry, put them up, let them say whatever they want about President Trump, not give the Republicans a chance to ask their question. And I mean everybody. If somebody saw Trump not wash his hands before he left the bathroom, they'll be up there saying he's spreading measles. But they're doing it for the optics. They know it's going to die in the Senate, so they're going to put everybody up there to talk crap as long as they can get away with. And then guess what? They're going to drop the inquiry. The Dems are going to say, there's an election 3, 4, 6 months from now. We put the information out there. We know, they know if it goes to the Senate, it's dead. So like people have been saying, this is their 2020 campaign. They're going to throw everything that they hate.
Carolyn, at some point, though, even if you're not paying attention, don't you just, you know, you tune on the TV one night and you see some guy who's testifying and they ask, did you hear any of this? No. Do you think, what crime was committed? There weren't any crimes that were committed, but I didn't like it. At what point does the average person who's not paying attention day to day like we are begin to say, hey, you know what? This nut that they got testifying in front of Congress sounds like the person I was sitting next to at the bar last night talking to himself while MSNBC was on. I mean, that's all they got, Carolyn, right? I mean, it has to occur to the average person. Again, not the average stupid person, the average person who's not paying attention, who doesn't have time for all this stuff, who gets a headache from, or just an eye ache from looking at Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell and all the rest of these people. Yuck. Okay, thanks for the call, Carolyn. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kemp, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. You know, another great irony, there are a lot of them in this entire perverted process that is referred to laughingly as impeachment, is that Obama never wanted to give any lethal aid to Ukraine. He never did. And, even when he was just giving them blankets, he wouldn't even allow it to be delivered to Ukraine. He sent it to Poland. And they had to, the Ukrainians had to drive across the border into Poland and pick it up in their private vehicles and bring it back over. But again, it's one thing to send blankets or sea rations or whatever to the military. It's another thing to send anti-tank weapons to fight the Russian tanks that were crossing into Crimea. And Obama didn't want to do any of that. You know, do you remember 2012 election? Tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility after the elections. So Karl Rove, you know, not my favorite person, not my cup of tea, but at least he called it. He called out this incredible hypocrisy on the Democrats that they're now in high dudgeon because Trump allegedly threatened to stop the lethal aid. Obama made sure they never got any military aid. Cut 10.
I love the fact that the Democrats are now decrying the president's decision not to move aid, lethal aid, rapidly to Ukraine. After all, the previous administration, a Democratic administration, did nothing to send lethal aid to Ukraine. And the non-lethal aid, they refused to fly into Ukraine on C-130s because they didn't want U.S. military presence in Ukraine. So they dropped them off in Poland, and citizens had to take that non-lethal aid and put it in the back of their little vehicles and trucks and convey it to Ukraine. This president at least had the guts to give the Ukrainians the lethal aid needed to stave off the Russian attempt to subvert that country.
Thank you, Karl Rove, for
Republican talking points, as usual. Hate speech.
Then there was Senator Ron Johnson. He was on with Jake Tapper, another Democrat operative with a press pass. Like Stephanopoulos, a made member of the Clinton crime family. He worked for Chelsea Clinton's mother-in-law, whose husband went to prison. Another congressman, Democrat congressman from Iowa, went to prison for bank fraud. Still hasn't made restitution for more than $10 million that he stole. Mizvinsky is his name. So Tapper was the guy who was on with Carl Bernstein and Shuto, I think, and somebody else when they released the dodgy dossier, and they went on right before the inauguration in 2017 and just kept talking about it for hours like it was real, even though they probably knew that it was just made up Hillary Clinton nonsense. So, you know, so a Hillary Clinton operative is pushing this Clinton paid for nonsense from Russians and other foreign nationals as if it's reality. So now Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, is talking about all these investigations on CNN, and Tapper has the audacity not to he interrupts Johnson not to apologize for saying, "I'm sorry, I'm a purveyor of fake news and a Democrat operative with a press pass," but just to stop Johnson from making his points. Cut 14.
How did this false narrative of Russian collusion with my campaign occur? Why was I strapped with a special counsel?
Right, and there are two investigations about that, right? There are two
investigations of what happened there. It's a very human desire. Jake, you are interrupting me, but go ahead and interrupt me again.
Well, I just want to say, in terms of the investigations into the origins.
Again, see, these guys were the first. They think they should be awarded, not forget the Pulitzer Prize for journalism. They want the Nobel Prize for journalism.
Also, Howie, I can't believe you passed up the opportunity to say, "My name is Ron Johnson. I come from Wisconsin. I work in the Congress there."
Because he was doing a good job. I didn't need to make sport of him. And like you said, he doesn't work in the sawmill there. He never has worked. I don't think he ever worked in a sawmill there. Not that that makes him a bad person.
It was prime for that, though. I was waiting for it as well.
His name is Ron Johnson. He comes from Wisconsin. He works in a sawmill. He doesn't work in a sawmill there. Anita, very quickly, Anita.
Hi. Hi, Howie. Hi. Yes, I think to be politically incorrect, the inmates are running the asylum here. And I read this morning that Charles Schumer graciously said he would sit down with Mitch McConnell to flesh out the rules for the impeachment hearing in the Senate. And I want to say, you, sir, and Nancy Pelosi and Schiff should be marched out of Congress, arrested, and tried for treason.
Well, they have to be defeated at the polls in 2020. That's where we have to take our full measure of their crimes and their obnoxious behavior over the last few months and years. All right. Thanks, Anita. We'll be right back.